Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples to pray. This was an important request from the closest of Jesus's followers during his days on earth as a man. And they had watched him praying, and now they sort of wanted a idea or a construct for them to fit in to. And that's our point here on the Grace Hour show today. This podcast comes to you live from Greater Grace Church in Baltimore. I'm Pastor Steve Androlonis. With me today, Pastor Fred Ellis. And we are talking about prayer as our breath, the idea that we talk to God as a practice. And if we see it as breath, then, you know, you don't really stop breathing, right? Mm-hmm. And so this week we are talking about several different kind of ideas on the Grace Hour show. We are talking about, yesterday we talked about faith as our life. Tomorrow we will talk about the Word of God as our food. Later on in the week, the church as our community and worship as our activity and exercise. But today we're talking about prayer as our breath. And so, Pastor Ellis, you want to start us off? You said a couple of things there about intimacy and some other comments there. You want to start off with a few comments about how prayer is our breath?
Yeah. Well, first of all, thanks for the invitation. And I think in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2, if any man thinketh he knows something, he knows it not as he should. And, you know, and I think everyone on this listening audience really wants to discover prayer and really enter into prayer. And I think about three words about the prayer as our breath. We think about intimacy, we think about life, and we think about the oneness of the mind, will, and emotions. And, you know, the book in the Bible that we think about intimacy, we think of Song of Solomon. In Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth."
Yeah,
and you cannot kiss, okay, without breath being connected. So that's our prayer, Lord, that we really desire intimacy with you. A man cannot have intimacy with another, with his wife, without communication. There needs to be communication. And in Song of Solomon, verse 1, verse 4, the king has brought me into his inner chamber. And that's where the intimacy is. What is like the inner chamber? The inner chamber is in the presence of God. There is no sweeter place to be than in the presence of God. And you're thinking, I know you're a baseball fan, and, you know, when the hitter is up there, the batter is up there, and he hits the sweet part of the bat. Well, there's a sweet part of intimacy with God, and that's in his presence. It's a place where heaven and earth meet, and it's a great place, and we long for that. And that longing really, really happens, okay, and Holy Spirit prayer. And I think, okay, the intimacy happens with the Holy Spirit. And my desire in my own heart, Lord, created me a desire for prayer. As you began, okay, the program by saying, Lord, his disciples, Lord, teach us to pray. They watched Jesus. It's been said, okay, that more things are caught than taught, they watch Jesus. In Mark chapter 1, verse 35, they're probably, you know, waking up, looking for breakfast, and where's Jesus? Well, he went alone up into the mountain to have intimacy with the Father. So I would say that the breath is the spirit of prayer. It's really, and the second thing is, okay, life. There is no one that can be alive that is not breathing. And for a healthy person, breathing is effortless.
That's right.
Yeah. For a healthy spiritual individual, prayer is effortless. It is part of his life. We can't go a couple of days without breathing. We can't go many minutes. And the older you get, the less you can, go without breathing. To be around people who are like-minded, that like to pray, I think is a wonderful thing. Being around healthy, spiritual people. And God enables us, just like both you and I, Pastor Steve, that we could not breathe a physiological breath without being enabled by God. But God, we can't pray without being enabled. And I like the old timers that they would say when they instead of saying we were anointed or we experienced the anointing of God, they say we were enabled by God. And our prayer is today that we would be enabled by God to pray. And just a couple more things on the life part. It is like being refreshed is a wonderful thing. We are refreshed by fellowship, but we are refreshed by prayer. I mean, you come out of a wonderful prayer meeting, not a grocery ship or a list of prayers and not a dead, but a really beautiful time in prayer, and it's so refreshing. And then I thought of the principle of having like emphysema. Emphysema is a disease where people have difficulty breathing. And it's not okay they can't catch their breath. It is that they can't empty their lungs. So this emptying process, when we come into prayer to have life, we need to really come empty. Empty ourselves. Be open and bare before God. And not to have a spiritual emphysema. That we're full. The lungs, an emphysema, you can't get, it appears you can't get your breath, but you're actually, your lungs are full. You can't empty out. And then just another thought on the oneness that we have, okay? The harmony, if you will. You are a musician, and in a band, in an orchestra, you've got harmony. But the harmony that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the Father, with the Holy Spirit, is really experienced in prayer. And we were talking about a child having access, and we have access to the throne of grace. We don't have to be insecure about that. The Father is really waiting for us in the inner chamber. He's waiting. He's waiting to be gracious, but he's waiting for us. It's kind of a funny story, but when I was a teenager, okay, I was dating this girl, okay, and the Father didn't like me. And he was probably wise. He didn't like.
He knew something.
He smelled something that wasn't right. So I used to meet this girl at 6 a.m. outside of her house, and then I would go to work, working a summer job, and we would just basically talk and whatever, But the Father is waiting for us. Just keep in mind, okay. And when you enter in the prayer, God, the Father is waiting for you in the inner chamber. In Matthew 6:6 and Hebrews 11:6, these are wonderful verses that way. So we don't know what to pray for, but the Holy Spirit knows what to pray for, and we enter into His mind, God's mind, and God's will, and So that's just some thoughts on, prayer.
It's very good. I think you are talking about that, your baseball analogy there, getting the sweet spot on the bat. I mean, it's very interesting to know that, to use that is like, cause you know, the men who make the most money playing this game, really only succeed 3 out of 10 times.
Yeah.
You know, so if you are a 300 level batter, that means that you are making like probably at this stage, I don't know, 100 million a year. Maybe it might be. I don't think it's that much. But if you are a 300 level batter and you're hitting, you know, you bat during the course of the year 400 times and you manage to hit the ball out of the ballpark 40 times, you are a very wealthy individual. And I'm thinking that maybe we know that baseball, just saying like trying to find that sweet spot on the bat. I think that's like a concept. Like people want prayer to be sweet.
Yeah.
They want to find the way to get, you know, to get lots of hits, you know, with God maybe. It is, you know, hitting a baseball, is like, you know, when you talk about it geometrically and if, and I guess it's physically in the law of physics. It is like one of the more difficult sporting things to do, really. You know, a ball is thrown at a certain mile an hour. You have to, you know, when you a rounded bat hitting a rounded ball, hitting it square is like, you know, there is a lot to that. I've heard that explained, you know, like how difficult it is to make contact with the baseball on a consistent basis. And like we would probably struggle, like we struggle with prayer. I mean, I don't think it comes, I think everyone has had those dry seasons. You know, there's been books around it. You know, the Dark Night of the Soul is one of the famous ancient books about that.
Yeah.
Like you feel like you're talking to God and like your prayers are stopping at the ceiling, that kind of thing. And like the you know, your ceiling is, the sky is iron. There's a passage in the Bible, the sky is iron and the fields are brass or something like that. You can't penetrate that sometimes. Yeah. So, but if we look at breath, like you said, if you look at prayer as breath, and like, I like the emphysema, I didn't realize that that's like, you know, some people have, the reason they can't breathe is they can't exhale, right?
Yeah, they can't
empty their lungs. Exhale. And this is like, you know, I've heard lots of stories, you know, about the name Yahweh being about breathing in and breathing out when you say Yahweh. And, you know, some people say, and then some people, I've read several people talk about that, some of the old Jewish mystics talking about that, and then other people trying to refute that. But it does make sense that if God breathed into us to make us living souls, that he also would say that, you know, that would make it possible for us to say his name as we breathe. So I like the figure, you know, regardless of those who argue against it, like, oh, that's like, you know, but I mean, I think that's, you know, prayer is breathing. Can we, and I like that what you said, the Holy Spirit, you know, the Holy Spirit helping us.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think there was a time in our campus that there was a performer by the name of, was it Jason Gray?
Yeah, Jason Gray. He wrote a song like that.
Song,
yeah,
something about the breath of God.
Yeah,
and I came across this hymn
that's
this
right.
morning. It was written in 1878, and we were talking about the 1800s before the broadcast. And it says, "Breathe on me, breath of God." Now I'm going to give the listening audience favor, okay, by not singing it, but I'm going to read the words.
Okay.
You could sing it great. Right. I know you could, Pat. But breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou dost love and do what thou would do. Breathe on me, breath of God, until my heart is pure, until with thee I will one will to do or to endure. Breathe on me, O breath of God, till I am wholly thine, till all this earthly part of me glows with thy fire divine. Isn't that beautiful?
It is.
And then it says, breathe on me, breath of God, so shall I never die, but live with thee the perfect life of thine ertere 90. Now, the last part, I have trouble saying it. I think it's Old English.
Yeah.
But these are beautiful words. And what stands out here is life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we become alive in prayer. Without breath, we are not alive. The mannequin does not need, a breath.
No.
He doesn't breathe. He doesn't know how to breathe. And he doesn't need it. And he stands there all day without breath. But we are not mannequins. Mm. We need breath. We need prayer. We need an intimate relationship with God. And then what the second thing that stands out to me, my heart is pure.
Mm.
What does prayer do? Prayer, has this amazing work in our life, to, you might say, to purify us, to really get my motives, one with his motives, to get my will, my corrupt, sinful, strained will aligned with his will.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third thing that sticks out is that the earthly part of me glows with thy fire divine. And, wow.
That's a powerful picture.
It really is.
And I think we could talk about that a little bit when we think about the creation of man.
Yeah.
Formed from the dust and then breathed in through the nostrils. Very graphic picture.
Yeah.
God breathed into his nostrils.
Yeah.
Man became a soul.
Yeah.
He's animated. He's alive.
Yeah.
You know, animation is probably a wrong word, but, he's definitely alive. It's like because of what God did. And then there's this, beyond the body and deeper than the soul, there is this, what Proverbs refers to as the candle of the soul, candle of the Lord, which is the human spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And what you said is like you want the fire inside of us.
Yeah.
We have breath because God gave it to us, but it seems like when we go deeper beyond the realm of our soul to this human spirit element, it's the candle of the Lord. And I think when we look in the upper room, Acts chapter 2, we know that there's a very graphic manifestation. It's not recorded in any other history books or any, it didn't happen again in the Bible, but when the mighty rushing wind came in and they breathed in that, they had cloven tongues of fire. Yeah. And I was thinking because of what Christ did and he could send the Spirit. Now, the candle of the Lord is not just a light because we choose it to be, but it's because there's capacity for the Spirit to be in us.
Sure.
Don't you think?
Yeah. And, when I think of it, Pastor Steve, as far as like breath, I think about blowing.
Yeah.
If you got embers or ambers on a fire.
That's right.
You blow on them. Mm. And that prayer, really, really blows on the embers in our heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I like you brought out the book, that you like to read on a regular basis, E.M. Bounds.
Yeah.
And I was saying to my wife this morning, what reading books like this, like George Muller or Andrew Murray or, E.M. Bounds, reading these Ravenhill, these books, they don't, we don't want to learn the mechanics of prayer. They don't show us how to. I mean, the bookshelves are full of how to. God does not show us really the how to's. Yes, he did give us the Lord's Prayer as an example. He prayed in John chapter 17. We see the life of the Apostle Paul in prayer, but not the how to's, but these books fire up, my desire. So it's very, very wise what you said, that I read these on a regular basis because I want, these embers. I want these to be hot. I want to be fired up. So you get a chance. You go to a corporate prayer meeting, with the people together. Well, that helps us. That encourages us. That fires up our heart.
Mm.
We get a little taste of it.
That's right.
But then we say, man, wow, I want to get alone with God. And that's where we can be assured that the Father is waiting for us there in that place. Yeah, and there is a light that lighteth every man's soul. And as you said, okay, the spirit in man is the candle of the Lord, right? Mm-hmm. Is that in Proverbs?
That's in Proverbs
20, 27 or
something like that. Yeah,
yeah.
It's in the 20s. I'm not really good at addresses with the numbers, but I know it's in Proverbs.
It's Proverbs 20:27. Yeah. I think
the spirit of the
Lord.
That
was a big thing with Dr. Stevens. That was like a verse we heard a lot of times. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. That's where he wants to torch it. The spirit, the human spirit of man, he wants to fire it up, okay? And that happens, okay, with breath.
Yeah.
Prayer is breathing. I want to breathe on it. You know, I'm a Boy Scout trying to make a fire.
That's right.
You know, I'm breathing on this. And searching all the inward parts of the belly. The belly's emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And this fire, okay, the prayer, breathe on me. And it really, it purifies me. It gets my emotions, okay, mm-hmm. aligned with him.
Yeah. Now, when we talk about breathing, you mentioned like emphysema is like, you know, you can't get the breath out. So the significance of exhaling, is that like, you know, you being in the medical field for a long time, is it, when you exhale, does that like push like any kind of foreign matter or destructive things out of you?
I mean, imagine.
I know they tell you to take a deep breath to settle down, but do you collect something and expel something? I mean, obviously you do because, you know, that's why they told us to wear masks during COVID because we're expelling like germs. But, is exhaling part of the cleansing process? That's what I want to say.
Yeah, I would imagine that's why individuals get pneumonia. They're not exhaling.
I see.
And you go in, like after a surgery or something like this, what's the first thing they're going to do? They're going to give you this device called a spirometer.
Oh, that's right.
And, maybe you've seen that and it's on your hospital tray, and you're looking at it. Uh-huh. And I got to work and I got to do this because if you don't do that, you get pneumonia.
Mm.
And, prayer is like breathing out. I like what Charles Spurgeon says about prayer. He said prayer is like a carrier pigeon. We get the pigeon will bring a message.
Mm.
And prayer, okay, is bringing a message from heaven, from God's throne to us. Then we take it, okay, that message, like with a carrier pigeon, we open it up, we read it. Then we put, okay, that message back with that carrier pigeon, and then we send it back to the origin, with a message on our part. And that's like what prayer is. We get God's thoughts through prayer. And we get aligned, we get oneness, we get harmony, and then we send it back.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like it just it come and just I got a lot of thoughts running in my mind. But you and I and the listening audience, we want God's thoughts, and prayer is sending those thoughts back to God.
Mm. Yeah, so we're trying to, having a life with God is really, prayer is a part of our dependency on him. And it really is, needing, seeing our need for having that kind of healthy, inhaling the life of the Spirit and then also exhaling and bringing our request to him. I think that's why in Hebrews we have that declaration is like, let us come boldly before the throne of grace.
Yeah.
Like, he said the child.
Yeah.
And then we know that there is a boldness, like you went to Song of Solomon. There is a boldness when, when you come face to face, when she says, kiss me with the kisses of your mouth. It's like, I notice that for us mm-hmm. as believers in Jesus Christ and followers of the Bible, that the idea of being face to face with God is critical. Like you said, The bride said, kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. This is the most close. You're not even closer than you're sharing your breath, really, together. And that's, you know, and then we see through the Psalms, David said, let your face shine upon me. And then I'm noticing, like, in other orientations, in other religious orientations, you know, you put your face in the dirt. Mm-hmm. You don't lift your hands to the Lord, you know, and look in his full and his wonderful face. You know, in particular, like in, you know, in these really hardcore fundamental, you know, cultures, religious cultures, mm-hmm. the women have to cover their faces, you know, and this is like, there is no, you know, there is no face-to-face intimacy, you know, and the breath, I think, if you were, you know, this morning, I got up, as I do in the morning, and I take my run, and I, you know, it's cold, so I have like a facial thing that goes over me to keep, and it sort of helps warm my head, but mm-hmm. like at a certain point, you get to a place where all of that breath is like right in your face, you know, like it has little holes, but still I have to pull it down every now and then to sort of get like a clear breath. And I'm just thinking of like, you know, God wants us to have this kind of understanding, this like breathing in, flow. Breathing out, you know, before him, bringing these things before him.
Yes. Right? Yeah. 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 No doubt about it. And our prayer before this podcast was that this program, okay, would be used for His glory, mm-hmm. and that it would encourage the listeners. I mean, I'm encouraged reading this. I mean, you just read through, okay, you know, the Gospel of John. I mean, all these unbelievable promises. Mm-hmm. If you ask anything in my name, we don't need to discount that. We don't need to divide it up. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Mm-hmm. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, whatsoever you ask, it is yours. I will do it. Mm-hmm. This is not name it and claim it, but this is talking about intimacy, okay?
Yeah.
And I love this. I love this equation, okay? What the definition of prayer that I love is, prayer is a good child asking a good thing from a good father.
Wow.
I think Hudson Taylor said that. But prayer is a good child asking a good thing. How do we know the good things? Mm. Well, we have his mind. We have his will. We're in harmony, okay? I can ask amiss, you know, but if I'm in harmony, as you were talking about percentages of hitting the sweet spot, my percentages are increased, if you will, if we can calculate that way.
Yeah.
But from a good father.
Yeah.
If you asked, okay, if a son asks a good father for bread, will he give him a stone? Absolutely not. If we ask from a father, okay, according to his will, he will give us that. Yeah. I think a big part of unanswered prayers is, I don't know, you know, the dynamics of prayer and asking, you know, it's really above, okay, us.
Yeah.
But but it's like unbelieving.
Yeah.
Really unbelieving.
Well, that is a good prayer. I mean, that is a good prayer that we see. Jesus comes down from the Mount of Transfiguration as a man with a, you know, a tortured son, tortured by a demon. And he says, I believe, but help my unbelief. And it's like, be bold to pray that prayer, you know, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because that can, you know, that can release you.
Like, yeah,
there's a person who prayed that prayer in the Bible, and I think that's there for us to say, you know.
Yeah,
and you know, I think like the Bible gives us all kinds of realms of emotion for us people going through a variety of emotions. You know,
yes.
You know, I always love the end of Jonah were like, you know, do you do right to be angry? Yes, I'm angry enough that you should kill me. That's what I'm saying. I'm angry enough to die. And God said, well, you know, shouldn't I have mercy on this city? There's 100,000 people who don't know their right hand from their left. And then the whole thing just ends like right there. Hey, did he strike Jonah dead? You know, and I think the same thing, like help my unbelief is a big thing.
Yeah. Have mercy on me.
Have mercy on me, Lord. Yeah. Yeah. You're my shepherd.
Help.
Help. Yeah. Bring me to the table. All those things. And I think the idea when Paul says pray without ceasing in 1 Thessalonians 5, he's saying that it's very good. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, those are two things that, you know, in a society that is bombarding us with like negative information all the time. It's like, it's such what was I listening to? I was listening to, there's a person who wrote a book called The Burnout Society, and he's, I think he's Korean, and he was saying that, rather than, reflection, thinking, now we just, we have reflex. Like we just, as so many things come at us that we're busy, with our reflexes rather than our reflection. And so like, I'm thinking like if your reflex is always like, almost like you're lashing out, you're breathing out all the time and you're not really breathing in. Yeah. Whereas meditation, I'm thinking is like you're breathing in the word. Have you found that?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, meditation is like, you know, reflection. You say, you know, I read this book, I read these verses on prayer. I also like Moses, you know, he took God at his word, and he was not he brought what God had said and what God had promised back to him, and brought to God his character and nature, reminded him of that, but if we have, if, you know, I think about, you know, reflecting, that reflection versus reaction.
Yeah.
And, reflecting on these things, meditating upon these instead of just reacting. If you are like a panic attack, you can't breathe. Mm-hmm. You are just in a constant state of anxiety. And that's going to be a burnout society.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, the author, if you will, of burnout is, and he will burn out for all eternity is Satan.
Yeah.
You know, he just wants people just, living in a constant state of anxiety and you get a peace that goes beyond understanding, you know, and that's that sweet spot.
Yeah.
That sweet presence of God. You know, it's just to think that God the Father is waiting in that inner chamber, in his presence for us.
Yes.
And we enter into that.
Mm.
We have access by grace, come boldly to the throne of grace. And we have access to that as a good child coming to a good father.
Mm.
And that's yeah, it's very, very precious.
Yeah, it is. It is. And I think when we find that verse, you know, pray without ceasing, if we think about it as best, if we think that we have a prayer on our lips all the time, if we can train our brain, train our, like you said, in reflection, meditation, consideration, good books about prayer, other people telling us just how important, how vital it is, if we can... we have a godliness because it's a positional truth in us, but the great gain is for us to get the content that we need to be content. You know, it's the same spelling, but you say it two different ways. But I remember Pastor Stevens talking about, you know, a book that he did, a booklet called Contentment with Content. And really, like when we meditate, we breathe in and we think about the statements, like we are made in the image of God. He made us alive by his breath. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. And when we think of that, then we are, in essence, we are, we are taking in. And I think that's the thing. Prayer mm-hmm. is one thing. It's breathing in, and yeah. then it's also breathing out. I have these needs. So yeah, just like pour out your complaint before the Lord. And I think mm-hmm. that's why there's 150 Psalms. We got a bunch, we got David and other yeah. men just like spilling their guts, so to speak.
Being
right?
Very true. Yeah. Being very transparent.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
To the point in some places where they're saying things that we would think, how can I say that to God? Like, you know, put Satan at the right hand of my enemy. Why would I say that in Psalm 109? Well, that's what you're feeling. Just get it out in the open. Just pour yeah. your complaint before the Lord,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. You yeah. know? Absolutely. Yeah. Mm.
It's prayer. It's yes. amazing. Let's see. Let's take this in a Christmas direction. We're going to do that. I'm just, okay. I mean, there is this, Charles Dickens wrote this famous story, A Christmas Carol, about a miser. And miser is the root word for miserable. And mm-hmm. a miser is someone who like holds his breath. He's a hoarder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's like, he's not, you know, this is what Ebenezer Scrooge. He's hoarding all his money when he could do great yeah. good in the thing. And they call him Scrooge. Mm-hmm. Scrooge. Mm-hmm. But I always understood that Dickens gave him a name that he could have later on, because in the Bible, Ebenezer means the rock of help. Like okay. there's a passage in, I think, 1st or 2nd Samuel, we call this place Ebenezer because it was a stone yeah. of help.
Yeah.
So I happen to live near Ebenezer Road. So I'm thinking okay. a stone of help, but I'm thinking like, you know, in the Dickens story, I think, I don't know if this is in the actual story, but in one of the movies made of it, like, after he's gone through this process and there's, you know, there's ghosts and everything like that. It's a fictional account of a guy who gets things right by morning, Christmas morning, but mm-hmm. he goes to a party and someone he had been fond of now comes up and he's greeted as Ebenezer. Like mm-hmm. all through the book, he's called Scrooge, mm-hmm. Scrooge, which is like his miser nature.
Yeah.
But after he has this experience, with this experience, he becomes Ebenezer. He sees like the rock of truth and he's no longer a miser.
Wow.
He's actually being, we see a couple of demonstrations of his generosity right there. It's like, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, it's a piece of pop culture from the 1800s, but it happened, right? You yeah. know, I mean, yeah. but it happens to us. Like we, you know, we can hold on to things. We can be where God is saying, let it out. Just come yeah. to me. Just breathe out. Will you just breathe out?
Yeah.
Right?
And there is a freedom in that, isn't it?
Yes.
So there's a real freedom in prayer. Maybe Dickens got that from he actually liked George Muller.
Yeah, and, he was a yeah,
yeah Dickens. Was a, he liked what Muller was doing, and maybe they talked a little bit or
you
whatever.
Never know. Yeah, yeah, he was an orphanage supporter. That is true.
Yeah, I mean, he was something. Yeah,
yeah,
for the plight of the orphans in England at that time.
Yeah,
but yeah, yeah. Prayer is it's our breath.
Mm-hmm.
Without breathing, we are dead.
Yeah.
And without breathing, we don't have any intimacy. We don't have any life. And another thing, mm-hmm. okay, that prayer does, a prayer brings glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
And in John chapter 14, verse 7, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Mm-hmm. If you ask anything, okay, then I will do it, that the Father would be glorified in mm-hmm. the Son. You know, you have some wonderful sons, okay, and you're, mm-hmm. you know, and you, you know, you see that your life, okay, is revealed through your sons.
Yeah.
And that's what it says, a prayer glorifies God in abiding with him. And, you know, we have to really be on guard. Anything that steals us from abiding, okay, in Christ, mm-hmm. abiding in his word. And then I jotted down, okay, that love is revealed through prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And that we have a confidence. We can enter into, like, insecurity, but we have a confidence that we have, if we ask anything, okay, according to his will, and that's where the abiding comes in, then, okay, then he hears us. And if he hears us, our petitions are granted. And so we have a we are confident. And so that even though you went back to the hitting, the baseball, the sweet part, and it doesn't happen all the time. But when you're waiting, okay, for that sweet spot, and it will come. It will come. It's just you're batting 300. It's just percentages. Okay,
that's it.
Somebody goes into a slump. We can go into a spiritual slump. Okay, I mean that's quite a phenomenal. I mean like amazing hitters can go into a 20-day slump.
Yeah.
And, but we can go into a slump there, but you keep on going up to the plate and you will find that sweet spot again. There's a sweet spot in a tennis racket.
That's right. Yeah.
And, you know it. It's got a certain time. So being in the presence of God is in prayer is like a very sweet spot. And you long for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If we see it, as this necessity of our life, then I think we elevate it to a great place. We want to be able to, to live before God. I think two things, like I said, unbelief, we can pray that prayer, unbelief. And then there are times when I just, when I'm sort of spent and I'm not sort of what to say, and maybe you've prayed this prayer, is like, Holy Spirit, I have no idea what to ask for. Just groan for me because I don't know how to utter what I really need, right? Have you prayed that? I'm sure you prayed that kind of prayer. You've been, Thailand, missionary Thailand, India, a couple other places. You've been to Nepal on short terms, right?
Yeah.
Vietnam.
Sri Lanka.
Sri Lanka, that's right, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I pray that, Psalm chapter 12, help. Yeah. One of the most powerful prayers in the Bible.
Yeah.
Just help.
Yeah.
Keep on thinking of a thought I was going to say, but it's just not coming back there. But
it just comes down. I mean, I just think you just come up for breath, like you've been held under the water. And sometimes you just say, help my unbelief. And you say, help. And then the other thing is, Holy Spirit, just groan for me.
Yeah, I don't know what to pray for.
I have no idea.
Oh, I wanted to say this, that be a good prayer is being a good conversationalist.
Okay.
Now, I had this dear friend. He's home to be with the Lord in India. His name is Connie. Maybe Craig is listening. That was his dad's name. And he was a great conversationalist. You know this. You're a good conversationalist. You're a good listener, and you've got content when you speak. But in prayer, be a good conversationalist, listen to God. That's what I want to learn. I'm going to learn, to be a good conversationalist in prayer. I want to listen. I want to listen to you, Lord. You speak, I will listen. Lord, when I know you're done, I'm not going to break into your communication. That's not a good conversationalist. But when you are done speaking, then I want to speak back to you.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful thing about prayer. We want to learn how to be a good conversationalist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. It's amazing. I think we're going to leave it right there, just with that sort of like broken moment, which is like really tells us like when we're really seeing God for who he is and how he makes us alive and hears us, just thinking about that is like such a thing. It breaks our heart in the best way, right?
Amen.
It does. Well, friends, this has been the Grace Hour Show with Pastor Fred Ellis and myself, Pastor Steve Androlonis. We come to you from Greater Grace Church in Baltimore. You can subscribe to us on a number of platforms, Spotify and Apple, Google, and other places. We also have a podcast website, which is gracehour.org, and you can hear past programs. And we'll be continuing on these themes about the essential of our life in Christ. And we want to thank you, give a thank you to Jehu Vandiver for being our engineer today, and invite you to be a part of the Grace Hour every day, Monday through Friday at this time. Thanks, everyone. Have a great Tuesday and a great week. God bless you. Merry Christmas.